This morning, as I said, I'm going to have Julie come up and share in just a moment. I do want to just offer some prayer and just a couple of words about our fall ministries. I've been asking you to pray for our fall ministry. That's an important part of what we do at Grace Church. We try and bathe everything in prayer, and so I try and do that together with you on Sunday mornings. I hope you do that too at home. But I just want to kind of say a word about our fall ministry, specifically about our small group ministries. I was talking about Bible studies that are going to be happening, men's and women's Bible studies. Our MOPS ministry, Moms of Preschoolers, actually starts up in September as well. I shared with you our life groups. Our life groups begin in September. Another small group ministry. We have something here at Grace Church we call connection groups. It is like a Sunday school class, but really what we're trying to do is offer another place for you to connect with God and with others. And so those happen on a Sunday morning at 9:30 in between services when we move back into our fall schedule. That happens in September. And so I want to just highlight those and pray over those specifically because they are such an important part of our life as followers of Jesus. If you read through the Gospels and Jesus' ministry on earth, you see Jesus spending a lot of time in a small group setting, trying to speak into, invest in, build into the lives of his disciples. And so we take that very seriously here at Grace Church as well. This, what we're doing now, I think is so essential to our walk of faith. This Sunday morning time together to worship God, to be reminded of these truths, to hear from God's Word, to pray about things going on in our church family. But you cannot go deeper with God. Your relationship is going to falter if you don't get connected into a small group. So whether that happens because you join a small group, or maybe you have a small group of Christians that you meet with, whatever it looks like for you, what we encourage at Grace Church is that you get involved in one somewhere, somehow. Because the reality is, that is how God helps us grow. That is how we learn how to use our gifts, by being a part of a church family, and each of us is given gifts to serve and do things at the church because God uses that in your walk. God uses those people in your life. If you're a part of a life group or a Bible study, you know that that's more than just we come and open the Bible, talk about it, and go home. It's involvement in each other's lives. It's praying for each other. It's talking about what's going on in our lives. It's trying to do life together. In the midst of that, as I said earlier this morning, I think it's essential that you do it the way God intends us to do it, with Jesus. And so as we move into the fall, I just want to encourage you to investigate some of the small groups that are happening and see if they work into your time schedule. Maybe there's where you live, and it doesn't have to be Grace Church. Maybe there's another group that gets together that you can be a part of. It's just so essential for us when we're challenged in our faith to make sure that there's people with us. All throughout Scripture, nobody is walking with Jesus alone. Nobody in the Old Testament is practicing their faith by themselves. They gather together at the temple, and in those very tightly knit communities, they were doing stuff together all the time. And so I believe that scripturally it's important for us to be doing that. And so I want to just encourage you, as I said, you can contact the church office about that. I want to encourage you to look for a way that you can be involved and take that next step in your faith with Jesus and your journey of faith and getting connected into a group and going deeper with God. So I want to pray over that, and I'm asking if you would pray over that, those ministries as well, as we get ready to kick those off in the fall. I just want to also pray for Bruce Hummel, Judy Devlin's dad. We've been praying for him. I got a chance to see him, and Judy sent me a picture of her dad reading the paper at the hospital. He's doing a lot better, still there, hasn't been able to be discharged yet, but he is doing a whole lot better, so thank you for praying for him. Also, just continue to pray for Pat Kramer and Greg and Jody for losing their dad. We're going to have those services this week at Geschwintz on Wednesday, and I know the Kramer family would appreciate our prayers too as they mourn the loss of Gary. So let's, before we begin with Julie, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, as we come before you, thankful for all you have accomplished through your son, Jesus, that we've just sung about, Lord, that is a reality. That's not just words that we can sing, Lord, but it is a reality in our life. Our life can begin when we give it to Jesus. God, thank you for that. God, thank you that though we have sinned against you, though we have rebelled, Lord, as your word tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful promise that we can actually experience your grace flowing over us. God, I know that I'm in need of that many times. And as I come here as the pastor of this church, I come as a sinner in need of your grace. God, thank you for, as your word tells us, lavishing it upon us. God, thank you that no matter what we're doing, where we go, your Holy Spirit is with us. You have revealed yourself to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so in this place right now, we can experience your presence. And when we walk out of this place, we can experience your presence daily, Lord. Thank you for that, God. God, I pray that for our brother Bruce, who's been at the hospital now for a little while, and I know he's ready to get out of there, and just thankful, God, that you've been with him through his physical difficulties that he's had and health issues that he's had here recently. Thank you for being with Judy and Joel, her brother, as they try to care for him as best they could, advocate for him. Thank you for the doctors and nurses that have done their best for him as well, and we pray that he'd be able to return home soon. God, we also just want to pray for the Kramer family, God, and pray that they would be reminded of the words that we've just sung about, that death has been arrested. It is no more. Jesus has defeated it once and for all. So death is not the end. It's really just the beginning. What a wonderful promise that we have. So through this time of mourning the loss of Gary, I pray, God, that you would be with Pat and Greg and Jody, and ask that your presence and comfort would be felt in their life, and that they would remember and focus on the promise that we have in your son, Jesus Christ. God, as we prepare as well to begin our fall ministries, I just want to ask that you'd be with us. The many people who give time and energy and sacrifice and a heart to serve others and to lead and to teach, thank you for their willingness to do so. God, may you bless them for their obedience to you. Lord, thank you for those who are involved in these small group settings, Lord, to go deeper with you in their faith with you, get to know you even better and know you more. And in that way, God, I know love you more, and also be able to be a part of a group to help each other stay accountable, support each other, encourage each other, pray for one another. Lord, I ask that you would just, for folks that are in need of that, that want that, that they would check out the life groups or the small groups that we have, the Bible studies, and want to be involved. And in that way, Lord God, I know that they won't be disappointed and that they'll grow. God, help us as we continue to seek to be faithful to the mission you have called us to bear witness to the truth of Jesus living and rising again and his return. God, help us to be faithful to that mission. And whatever we're doing as Grace Church, and whatever we're doing as families, whatever we're doing as individuals, God, may we continue to serve you. Thank you for those who continue to do that. And God, may we see more people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as a result. We pray it in his name. Amen. This morning, as I said, I'm going to invite Julie to come up and share. Julie was, as I said, on the other side of our Youth Works missions trip. She was a leader with Youth Works. And Julie, I guess, was Youth Works the first time you went when we went to Boston? The first time you went with Youth Works? So we went with Youth Works to Boston or Lynn, Massachusetts, a couple of years ago. And Julie was on that trip. And then Julie sensed God maybe moving her to be a part of Youth Works in a bigger way by serving as a summer missionary there. So Julie is a part of that next generation of people who are willing to serve. There's not tons of college kids who say, I'll give up my entire summer to be with a bunch of teenagers and cranky adults. Now, our group wasn't cranky, but there were cranky adults there. But I just labeled it next generation. As you know, I serve as the director of global ministries for the denomination. So I think about this stuff all the time because there's always missionaries retiring. And I think to myself, who's going to take up the baton once they go? There's still lots of people all over the place that need to hear about Jesus. Who's God calling next to do that? So I don't know that God's calling Julie. She didn't tell me that. But like I told the people at first service, and I said, don't tell Julie I'm praying about what God's doing in her life, because who knows what God's going to do. But I'm thankful she was willing to come and share with us this morning about her experience and hear a little bit about what God was doing in her life this summer. So Julie, take it away. We'll use this mic with the white tape around it, Steve.
All right. So... All right, there's a picture of me with my site staff, who I was with all summer long, and YouthWorks started in 1994, and they're based out of Minneapolis in Minnesota, so they've been doing this for quite some time, and usually they have about 40 sites across the country where they serve in impoverished areas, but because of COVID, last summer was canceled. So I was originally supposed to serve in the summer of 2020, but due to COVID, they had canceled their summer missions and postponed it to 2021. And with that, they lost about 20 service sites, so we only had 20 this summer, which is why me and my site staff had served in both New Orleans, Louisiana, and Wilmington, North Carolina, because we were also low on staff members to be serving in the first place. There was only one other site out of all 20 this summer that had also served at two, because usually they just stay at one place all summer long and serve in one community from June until August. So in that picture is my site staff, and we're from all over the country, and we all meet together at RAMP, which is just our training in person, where we gather all of our supplies, our rental cars, learn a little bit about the position, and get to know each other. So the four of us had not known who each other were at all. We met for the very first time in Nashville, Tennessee at training, which is where we then got in a car and drove for 8 hours together to New Orleans. And all the site staff meet for the very first time at training. And you're all strangers, and it's terrifying, and it's scary. But it ended up working up pretty well for me and my team. We became very, very close. In the picture next to me on the left is Luke. He was our community service coordinator, and he was from Washington State. My title was the ministry support coordinator. And then Ruth, she was our site director. So she was who was in charge of all of us, and she was from Wisconsin. And then Blake was from Arkansas, and he was also a community service coordinator. So like I said, Ruth was in charge. She was who coordinated all of the churches that came to our sites and served with us with their adult leaders and their youth participants. Both the boys, the community service coordinators, had coordinated all of our service projects. So YouthWorks doesn't coordinate where it is that we serve. We have to go into the community and make meetings and phone calls and emails and coordinate everything for ourselves. And then as the ministry support coordinator, I coordinated all of our ministry and our worship services. So I did a lot of the devotional introductions, as well as our evening worship services, and I coordinated all of our evening activities. So we were all banded together in training, got to know each other for the very first time, learned everything about our positions, and then we all got sent out to where it is that we serve. So like I said, we were in New Orleans for the first half of our summer, and New Orleans is what they call a food desert. So after Hurricane Katrina, they had very low resources, not a lot of grocery stores, not a lot of places to just buy food in general. So all of our service projects were centered around food. We did food drives and food distribution, as well as packaging food for Giving Hope Food Pantry, which was the largest food pantry in the New Orleans area. And then we also served at community gardens. And then in the bottom picture, you see that we were baking. So in New Orleans, it's sinking and it's flooding all the time. So it rains pretty much every single day. And all of our service projects were outside, so if it rained, we would have nothing else to do than stay back and bake cookies, bake desserts, do all sorts of things like that, as well as making cards and making pictures and such for nursing homes, daycares, and just people in the general community. So that was a big way that we really got to go out and meet people and really engage in relational ministry as opposed to just doing service work at a garden or a food distribution center. And then Blake is sitting with all the Mardi Gras beads. Something that was really cool that we did was we gathered recycled Mardi Gras beads and then organized them by color into special bags, and then they took them, refurbished them, resold them, and then all the profits went towards adult daycares for adults with disabilities. And that was something really cool to be really true to the culture, to really get the kids involved. And then, like I said, I do the evening activities. So every single week we went to the French Quarter, which was always exciting and terrible traffic and always very interesting. But nonetheless, the kids loved it, and it was a very cool way to get them immersed in the culture, to get them to know better not just where they were serving, but the greater New Orleans area as a whole and their diversity. So the bottom right, all the boys at the beach, they were our first group from Georgia, and they were terrible. They were just so misbehaved. And my very first week, I thought there's no way I could do this all summer long. I thought, this is not for me. And I actually, that was the night I called you. I called Pastor Ted because I was in a panic thinking I could never do this. But then eventually, they were wonderful. And I got to know them all very, very well. And it was my first impression that wasn't necessarily the best. And I did see God working through them and God working through me in getting to know them better. And then the group photo, they were from Halifax. And they were originally supposed to go to North Carolina with YouthWorks for their missions trip. But then something had fallen through. So they drove all the way to New Orleans, which I thought was crazy. And it was really cool to get to know them and get to meet them because we're from such a close area and being able to share lots of stories. And then the larger group at the bottom is a good representation of we had about 50 to 75 people a week. So we had to feed a lot of people, we got to know a lot of people, and we prepared all their breakfasts and their dinners, and they packed their own lunches every single day. And in New Orleans, we stayed in Slidell, which is 40 minutes north of the New Orleans city. So our commute every single day was about an hour. So we would wake up every morning, we'd wake up at 5 a.m., they'd wake up at 6 a.m., and we would do our entire day long and not go to bed till midnight. So New Orleans was a very, very crazy sight. But then around the week of 4th of July, we got to travel to Wilmington, North Carolina, which was much more relaxed and a much easier sight to work with. And then on our journey, we stopped in Birmingham, Alabama, where you can see Blake again sitting. And we got to stay with another one of the YouthWorks site staff and hear about their summer and get to know them for a little bit. We spent a night with them. And then we finished our journey all the way to Wilmington. And then in the bottom right, or the bottom left, I don't know, you can see a whole bunch of books. And they're just sitting on the pavement. And then above them is a bunch of kids standing in the rain. They were from Sonoma, California, and they flew all the way to Wilmington for this glamorous missions trip, which was crazy. And they were explaining to me the droughts and the wildfires and all these things that I had known existed, but like never really thought about. And while they're telling me this story and all about what's going on back home in California, it starts pouring and the sun is out. So I'm miserable because now it's raining and I need to find them a new service site and I don't know what to do. And these kids are just laughing and jumping and screaming and yelling and dancing in the rain because they hadn't seen rain in months, maybe years, I don't know. And they were just so happy and excited to be there and to just experience this. And it was one of the most life-giving moments all summer that when I was upset and I thought everything had gone wrong, they were so excited and just nothing could stand in their way. And it was just a really beautiful way to see God moving through them and through me during the summer. And then some of the other projects we did in Wilmington was a lot with Habitat for Humanity, so a lot of building homes, doing home construction like painting or cleaning up old projects. And then we worked with this organization called Project WARM, which stands for the Wilmington Area Rebuild Mission, where we built a lot of decks, porches, we did home repair, we did a lot of flooring. And these kids had never done construction before in their lives, and I've never done it either. So as they were learning, I was learning. And it was a really cool experience because they put us on such a pedestal and think we know everything, and that me and my site staff, the four of us, are just so smart and so wonderful, and then I'm standing there with a power drill and I have no idea what I'm doing, and they think it's hysterical. And it was just a really good way to level the playing field, let them know I'm just as they are, and we're all serving God together. And it was just a beautiful way to really get to know them more intimately, get to know them better. And the bottom group, they were from Allentown, which again, I thought was really cool. I love the Pennsylvania groups the most. And it was cool to get to know them, where they go to high school, what they're doing after high school, if they have siblings, if their parents are on the trip. And then in the corner, you see we were at the beach. That was another one of our evening activities, was going to the beach in North Carolina, which was really cool. And then these are just some group photos from the entirety of the summer. So the big group photo in what looks like a basketball court, that was my area. So YouthWorks is divided up. We have all 20 sites around the country, and then there's areas amongst those sites. So above my site director, I had an area director. And her name was Lauda, and she was from Brazil, and her parents are missionaries in Mozambique, but she just graduated from Messiah and lives like 40 minutes away, which is really crazy, considering everyone's from all over. But she was in charge of our area, which was New Orleans, Louisiana, Wilmington, North Carolina, Bayou La Batre, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, and Savannah, Georgia. So she drove around the country, around the South, probably 15 times, went from site to site to site to site, visiting all of us over and over and over again, checking in if we need help, checking in if we need someone to save us in a disaster. And then there was her area, there was another area. There was about four or five areas all over the country. So it was just crazy getting to know all these different people. We had a bunch of Teams meeting calls, which is similar to Zoom, where we got to talk to them, hear what it is they were doing, see how they were serving. On our way back, so in the beginning of August, when we left Wilmington, North Carolina, we drove back to Nashville, where we started, to return our rental cars and all of our technology. And we got to travel with the Savannah, Georgia team and get to hear about their summer, get to know them, which again was crazy because you spend all summer long with just four people, getting to know them so deeply, getting to know everything about them, and then you leave. And then we all come back home. And it's such a culture shock, and it's so different to go from living in a church, sleeping on a couch, eating the same meal every single day, all week long, and then you're kind of free again. And it's strange and it's exciting, but it's definitely life-changing. And I learned a lot about myself and how far I can be stretched and how God can use me in so many different ways than I could have ever imagined. And it was just a very wonderful, life-giving experience.
So I'm going to keep Julie up there for questions. One that I asked first service, and I'll ask again, is just typically, like in Logan, West Virginia, that site will be there next year for people to go to. But Julie was at two sites that they shut down. Do you want to share why they shut those two sites down?
Yeah, so we permanently closed both the New Orleans and the Wilmington site. Specifically in New Orleans, because our sites were over an hour away, and we had to start our mornings an hour earlier than every other site, it just made for very long days, very long weeks, and it can be harder on the kids, as well as just the commute could be dangerous. So we had permanently closed our housing site there, and all of our storage had been moved back to Minneapolis, where they have everything housed. And maybe within the next 5 years, they'll go back if they could find housing in New Orleans itself, as opposed to somewhere further away. But up until then, we had just wrapped it all up. And then we did the same in Wilmington, because a lot of our projects stemmed from Hurricane Florence, and since then a lot of it has been rebuilt and kind of brought back to where it once was. So the service that we can provide is not what is necessarily needed right now, and with COVID, we can't do so much with adults or children. So within the next 2 years, they do plan on coming back to Wilmington, but up until that point, we had also permanently closed that site.
Was the flooding that you were talking about, was that the first week also?
Yeah,
in New Orleans? Tell them that story.
Okay. So New Orleans is sinking and it's flooding and it's always raining and it's just terrible and I hated it. But at our housing site, at our church in Slidell, 40 minutes north of the city, we had a tropical storm and our pastor told us that everything would be fine and there's nothing to worry about. Well, at midnight, we went downstairs and there's 2 inches of standing water and everything is flooded and everything is damaged and we don't know what to do. So the next morning, the pastor had showed up, and we had to tear up all the flooring. We had to sanitize everything, disinfect it, fix the bathrooms, fix the sanctuary, and it took hours, all for it just to happen all over again that Monday when we had church groups there. So we had 60 people from all over the country expecting to go to the French Quarter that night, and it starts raining, and the church starts flooding, and we had to just drop everything, cancel all programming, cancel all activities, and it was all hands on deck, scrubbing, cleaning, scooping out water, shock vacuuming water, and it was crazy. Unexpected, but a great way to really get to know the people. It was actually when we went on our trip in Lynn, Massachusetts, we had met a group from Minnesota, and their site, their trip leader was named Joanne, And we were with them for a week and we got to know them. And they had actually come to my New Orleans site not knowing I was there. And we had reconnected after having served together 2 years ago. And they were with us that week that it had flooded. So it was Joanne and her church, those we had met 2 years ago, helping me. So it was crazy how God works, bringing them when I needed them most.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else have questions for Julie? Feel free to ask her anything, anything at all. She'll answer it. No questions. Julie, will you do this again? Would you do it again?
Yes, I would.
So it hasn't scarred her enough not to do it again. So I just want to kind of give you an idea, as what Julie said, just in the mission world, we call it re-entry debriefing. When a missionary goes out to a different culture and comes back, there is culture shock. And really, she was living in a different culture all summer. Like she said, you get really close with these four people, and then all the, because you don't know them before the summer begins, and then you're supposed to make an amazing missions experience for all these teams coming down, and you never met each other in your life. And so you get close really quick, and now she's coming back into going back to college. She's a senior at York College, and is going to be going to, she's taking the law exam, right?
Yeah, I'll start applying in 2 weeks.
Applying in 2 weeks for law school. So she's got a little bit going on in addition to, you know, summer mission stuff. But everybody that goes on the trip, the sites are all being run and directed by college-aged students. So from 19 to like probably 21-ish, 22-ish, there's only four of them. So at that site where she's at, their job was not to make sure the church didn't flood. That wasn't part of what they were supposed to do. They just had to handle it. And so you've got college-age students working with 60 to 70 kids and adults all at one site for an entire week, and they're in charge. That's it. There's nobody else. It's them having to do that. That's a lot of pressure on college-aged students to be able to do. And as she said, you might get a phone call and say, hey, don't come to our service site today. Now I got 40 kids I got to figure out something to do with. That's on them. They got to figure out what to do. And then you got the missions leaders like, well, we didn't pay for this and we're not doing anything. I wouldn't say that, but other mission leaders might say that. So you got college age students and mission groups come, or church youth groups coming down. So you've got people that probably have been in ministry for 20 years, doing youth group for 20 years, and people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s. And having to be told what to do by college-age students. So not only do you have all of the service aspects of the mission trip, but you have all the dynamics of personalities and trying to make a group of 60 people mesh and work together for an entire week. And dealing with all that and dealing with those adults, and that's what they were asked to do. And they had, what, a week of training to do it?
Yeah.
So the one girl that was at our site in Logan was in charge of service projects. And so she basically had to do what we do for Church Left the Building. And I'm putting myself in her shoes. I mean, I know what to do for a lot of that stuff. I go out to those sites. I take pictures. I talk to the residents. I call people if I don't know what I'm looking at and say, hey, tell me what this is. What material should we use? She's 19. She's never done it in her life, and that's what she's supposed to do. And the one day Kyle and I were with her, just we were doing dishes or something, and she was talking to us, and she's like breaking down crying because of the pressure. And I didn't do that. I mean, I've been known to make people cry, but it wasn't my fault. It was somebody else. But it was like all this pressure that's put on her, and she's just trying to do the best job she can. So that's part of what they had to do. So as Julie said, and I'm sure she learned, God really stretched her this past summer. She's willing to do it again. And one of the words we use in the missions world is resiliency. You have got to be a resilient person if you're going to serve God. And just, you know, imagine waking up and there's flooding in downstairs and everything's canceled, all the stuff you practiced or all the stuff you had planned, and now you got to help this church not flood. And you know, all the things that she was involved in, resiliency is something that God uses in the missions world. So sorry, Julie, but you're getting that. So I don't know what God's going to do in your life, but you were resilient this past summer, and that's praiseworthy. And I think I can speak on behalf of Grace Church just to say how proud of her we are for what she did this summer. Not lots of college students are going to spend a summer doing what she did. So I'm proud of her. I'm sure you're proud of her for doing that. And it's great to see just going to Lynn, Massachusetts and doing this and God working in one of our students' lives to say, I'm going to give back and do this for other people. So that's wonderful to see. So I'm glad we were able to celebrate that with her on her birthday, no less, here at Grace Church. And I just want to close this time of hearing about what Julie did with a word of prayer. God, I want to give you thanks for the work that you've done in Julie's life and the work that you did this past summer. Just thankful for all the sites that were visited with YouthWorks, the job that we were able to do, and maybe our group even gets to appreciate a little bit more of what our site directors and site leaders had to do for their summer. God, thank you for watching over Julie. She did, as she shared, tons of traveling all over these United States. So thank you for watching over her as she did that and kept her safe. Thank you for the experiences that you gave to her and just being able to, on a really tough day, be able to appreciate a bunch of kids enjoying rain and how that can just bless her, Lord. You use those simple kinds of things in our lives a lot just to remind us of what it looks like to have joy in serving you. So I'm thankful for that experience for Julie, and God, we just pray that you'd continue to guide and direct her life in what she's doing. We pray for her as she pursues law school and where you're directing her in that way, Lord, and the future for her as well with regard to missions, as she said she would do it again next year if that's what you're calling her to do, Lord. But we just pray that you would just give her wisdom, and I pray, the Lord, that you would just continue to work in her heart and mind and just really hear from you about where you're guiding and directing her. So thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity as Grace Church family to support one of our own who are out there serving you this past summer. And God, whatever was accomplished, we just want to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for, and ask too that you would continue to do your work in those communities and in our lives and in our students' lives here at this church as well. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it. You can have a seat. And as I said, this past summer was an opportunity for Julie to learn some resiliency. And as I prayed, I think God just does that a lot. He gives us some simple things in our life to remind us of what it looks like to serve Him and the joy that we have in doing that. Now, not every day, as Julie experienced, as believe it or not, sometimes I experience as the pastor of this church. I know it's hard to believe. Not every day is a joy. But serving God and the joy we have comes from what I said this morning about Jesus being a part of your life, about not just Sunday morning being that time to focus, but in a very turbulent world right now, in a very difficult place in which we're living right now, and the challenges we're facing right now, that joy might be able to get zapped from us, but it's really focusing on God and finding our strength in Him that helps us to continue to serve, because God's calling all of us to do that. This past summer, God called Julie to do that in New Orleans and Wilmington, but He's also calling all of us, as soon as we walk out these doors, to do that within our own communities, our own families, to serve Him. So let's be reminded of the joy in serving the Lord. Let's stand together and close this morning by singing Joy of the Lord.